Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I appreciate you being here today. My guest is Ghulay Sheikh. She is a healthcare technologist from the state of Illinois. She is a member of Generation X, and I am delighted to have her here today. Ghulay, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for folks who are not familiar with what a healthcare technologist is, let's start here. Tell me about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Yeah, sure. So I have actually been in technology for 23 years, but I've been focused in healthcare technology for about 15 years or so. And I co-founded a health tech company that developed the first proprietary algorithm for medication price transparency back in 2014. And I sold the company in 2019 with my co-founder. Our software was primarily designed around telehealth providers, but we serviced all health systems. And since then, I've really been heavily focused on innovation, predictive analytics, artificial intelligence, machine learning around healthcare and how to improve patient outcomes and the quality of healthcare systems.
Okay, can you talk to me a little bit about, like, artificial intelligence and algorithms and all of those things seem very, pardon my bluntness on this, but they seem cold and analytical and computerish, and you're talking about patient outcomes which feel very human and tangible and warm-blooded. Can you talk a little bit about how you have the interaction between the analytical and the human elements?
Yeah, so that's actually, no one's ever asked that question. That's really great to hear that question. So there is a bit of the analytical side, right? But the human side really is where the providers are interacting with their patients and gathering the necessary information on the patients to understand the full 360 view of how the patient is currently at present state, how they got to that state, and what the potential outcome should be, and the diagnoses that's in between that, right? So that's the provider's role in the health systems. The AI element of that is gathering that information and that data and then applying it in machine learning and understanding a lot more information and details about a patient that the provider at the time of interaction may not have access to. So they may not have access to, for example, other providers' diagnoses of this patient or x-rays or lab results, other information, but also a provider may not have access to population health data and how this person fits into the population health algorithms in terms of preventative care. So I really feel from the human element side, obviously is very important, but we need to have both to have a holistic view of a patient.
Okay. And how do you preserve the delicate balance between looking at population statistics and looking at people as individuals, you know, to make sure that we're not overgeneralizing, but we're also not over specifying. Does that make sense as a question?
Yeah, that makes absolute sense. Yes. I mean, I'm glad you asked that because there is an element of looking at patients and comparing them to larger models, and you know, becoming more statistical, like you said. And the human element of that, again, is around, you know, patients. Every patient is a different person, right? Their custom in terms of their behaviors, their lifestyles, their family backgrounds, their geography, their race, their education, their income, and the overall their quality of care and their quality of life. So every single individual is individual in many unique aspects. And in some cases, the support that an individual has in terms of their care model, so whether it is having a primary physician that's checking up on them regularly, or whether they have a care plan coordinator or family members or other people in their family unit that is invested in their health, everyone has a different I guess makeup of what their quality of life could look like. So that is all a part of it, as well as understanding, you know, that unique side of what makes a patient who they are.
Perfect. And that really leads into this next question, which is, what does quality healthcare mean to you?
Yeah, so to me, quality means taking the steps necessary to improve an individual and population's health outcomes through prevention, correct diagnoses, and care management. But I also really lean heavily on the six domains of quality as defined by the National Academy of Medicine, which is being safe, effective, patient-centered, timely, efficient, and equitable.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about how this, like how that all fits in with the patient as an individual. And I guess, you're looking at, as you mentioned before, you're trying to get a 360 picture of the person. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk to me a little bit about that concept of quality healthcare? And maybe it leads into this question. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare so that, I can help, it helps me understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So I would say quality healthcare is really understanding. I mean, it depends on the patient themselves, and I'm not a clinician. I don't want to get into like diagnoses of like, let's say a healthcare, like a heart disease patient, but let's say you have a particular patient that has diabetes, just give that as an example, or hypertension. So we know statistically that a lot of hypertension folks can manage their health through proper diet and having a primary care physician just explaining care plans to them a bit more effectively and then changing a few patterns and behaviors. And a lot of times hypertension patients will end up in the ER in under 30 days after being diagnosed under 30 days because they weren't able to follow their care plan. They didn't take their medications correctly. They didn't follow their diet and things like that. And so, in that particular case, quality would be, all right, was this patient, did they understand the safety protocols of their plan? Did they understand that they had access to medications that they should have been taking more regularly? Did they have access to the information of how to take that medication? Were they timely in terms of interacting with their care providers and notifying them when they were not sure about following the care plan? Efficiency, like in some cases, some patients don't end up in the ER simply because they just don't have access or they don't have insurance. And so they can't actually get the access to care that they need. And then equitable, in terms of equality of care, just like I mentioned, like they may not have access. That is a example of, an underserved person that may live in a rural area that doesn't have access to either a hospital network or a care provider, or they may just not have insurance or other factors that hinder them from getting access to care.
Okay. Interesting. I heard you mention two elements in there. When you're talking about someone with hypertension, you're talking about them modifying their diet and also being on medication. Sometimes we live in a society that is like, give me a pill to fix my problem. And yeah, like, that's where we go. How much of a balance is there in your system between what would be more holistic in approach and the more, pharmaceutical approach where one is offering you a pill and one is, prescribing lifestyle change? Can you talk a little bit about where that fits in with your system?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. So, in terms of like, if I were involved in a pathway to create a process of how to manage that type of patient, the things that we look at is, are we providing all the elements and the data that we need to the providers to explain the information, the care plan to the patient? And then the AI element of that is that this patient, based on certain factors and certain metrics, would show up as a high-risk patient potentially because they may not, we know hypertension patients, generally speaking, are only follow their care plan by 12%. So, or 12% of patients follow their care plan. So you have like now, all these other patients that are not. So that person immediately becomes a high-risk person. And so from an AI element, an example of that would be that the AI metrics would send out actions to the provider and say, hey, these are actions that need to be solicited to the patient because they may fall off their plan. It's been 3 weeks or so. There hasn't been any information on them. We don't want them, you know, unnecessarily in the ER. If it's necessary, we definitely want them in the ER, but unnecessarily we don't. And so here's the options we can provide, like, you know, make sure that they have their 90-day refills already available to them for their medications. Check in on them on how their diet and their plan is going. Ask them questions of their blood pressure and other protocols that they measure hypertension with.
That's a startling statistic to say that there's a 12% adherence rate. And just from my own viewpoint, and I will say I'm biased with this, there are two ways to look at it. One is, is there a problem with the population that they are only, that, you know, that 88% of them are not strictly adhering to their plan? Or the counterpoint is there a problem with the plan that only, only 12% of people are willing to stick with it? And I think that that's a conversation that could be had at a different time and in a different way. But in some ways, it cuts both ways, that the plan needs to be evaluated as well as the patients to see how we get better adherence rates to the to the care plan and moving forward, and ultimately then how you have better outcomes for those patients.
Yeah.
What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
I think in my role in healthcare, again, I'm not a clinician, but I'm very passionate about the space, and so I read a lot on clinical trials, and I read a lot on evaluations and what is happening in the healthcare industry as a whole and a lot of the problems. And so my role, really, I really like to focus on is innovation and how to improve the processes and the quality of care through algorithms and how we can manage that. I do also want to preempt emphasis with that also is, you know, with algorithms, although they are great for innovating and improving processes, there are biases that are also ingrained in the system. And those biases need to also be heavily addressed. And we need to start looking at things, you know, from a different lens and a different angle. I think before we were looking at models strictly from statistical data and also what is the outcome that we're trying to find. However, we haven't looked at the psychology side of things, where the psychological aspects that are used to implement these algorithms may be missing on critical factors of patients that really do need care. So we really need to like start looking at things a lot more holistically. And, you know, and there's psychological sides of this as well. Like, we just need to understand where our patterns and behaviors from the past, or subconscious beliefs from the past, have influenced us in creating models that may not be serving the populations correctly.
It's interesting. Are the patient's goals taken into account when doing the whatever the calculations are? Because, you know, a healthcare provider can make a goal for a plan of treatment, and, you know, the goal is for, you know, we used hypertension, we want to bring the patient's blood pressure down to a certain range, as opposed to the, it might be the patient's goal, like, I just want to live my life and spend whatever amount of time is left with my friends and family eating the things that I enjoy eating, and not not being miserable eating bran muffins all the time. Are those elements, are you able to take those into account when you're working through the algorithms and everything?
I think that's a great thing that you brought up, and that is something that should be thought through. It just depends on which algorithm we're working on, and there's like millions of algorithms depending on who is looking at this. So if you're looking at a health system, the health system has their own goals, you know, that they have in mind. And if you're looking at a payer, the payers have their own goals in mind, and pharma has their own goals in mind, right? But the patient's goals ultimately is foremost important. But when you look at the patient's goals, should align to getting better, right? So in some cases, if a patient says, well, no, I just want to enjoy my life, no matter what it is, eating whatever I want, then that's the patient's goal. Like that patients are going to do what they're going to do. So, you know, when it comes to the psychology of change of behavior, you know, there's three elements, and that is what's the motivation, what's their ability, and what's their access to change. And so those are the three elements that have to be looked at. And if a patient's not willing to do any of those or one of those and not the other two, you know, we have a problem. So, you know, so you just have to kind of manage it as best as possible.
Okay. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
I think it's just the innovation and focus on artificial intelligence and also blockchain, I think have a lot of potential to change healthcare overall. And I'm just really excited to see the path that it takes.
Excellent. And what is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
You know, I think it's focus on interoperability, leverage population health data that is available, and then fine tune the measurements that contribute to the larger data sets would be a great way that providers can look at right now.
Okay, tell me more about that, please.
So in terms of, you know, leveraging population health data, we have like larger sets of data that's available from a population health perspective, but a lot of it is based on some of the stuff that I mentioned is, you know, it's a bias. Like some of the population health data may be more heavily around Caucasian patients. Some of it may be around more African-American patients. And then some of it is just like missing information. So looking at the information holistically, understanding what are the gaps in place, what do we have right now, where are we more heavy on, and then contributing to those larger data sets by asking the right questions with your own patients.
So interesting. I hear you say it's not just about getting the correct information, but one of the ways to get the correct information is make sure you're asking the right people. But also make sure that you are asking the right questions.
Yes.
Very, very important understanding, and a very, I think it's not a small distinction. It's not splitting hairs. I think it's a spot on understanding of that. You've got to ask the right people, the right questions to get the right information that's going to give you the bigger picture that speaks to humanity at large. Listen, Ghulay Sheikh, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you enlightening me on a topic that I know very little about, and I appreciate and respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.